Senate Majority Leader Michael Shirky joins us this morning.
Happy Friday to you, pal.
How you doing?
Doing fine, thank you.
Well, this is this the kind of the calm before the storm here, or what?
If you're referring to the astoundingly ridiculous statement that our president made yesterday, then I think, yes, it is a calm before a serious storm.
Well, I wasn't referring to that, but I'm sure that I guess that fits the bill.
Well, we could also be referring to something that's much more personal to me, and that is it's 47 degrees outside. It's mid-September, and it's dangerously close to the most important hunting season in the state. Tomorrow, of course, is the opening day for a youth hunt. I don't think I qualify for a youth anymore, so I probably can't do that.
No, you can't get in under the line there.
No, I'm afraid not. And my grandkids, though they love to hunt, they're just too busy right now, and so I probably won't get out for a week or so with them. But you know how passionate I am. And our dear friend that's passed, Jamie, of course, is part of our thought process this time of year as well, because he was, my wife says I'm an avid bow hunter. My wife says I'm a rabid bow hunter, and I think Jamie would probably concur that he is was subject to the same disease.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when do you guys get back in session?
Well, we were in session yesterday.
Were you?
We'll have two session days next week. We'll have a couple of session days the following week. So the month of September has a lot of holidays, religious holidays and conferences and stuff. So it's a little start and stop in September, but we'll be, you know, right back at it with full earnest in October. From a budget standpoint, which is on the minds of many people, I don't want to jinx anybody, but I'm very optimistic about the talks that are going on between the House, the Senate, and the governor's office administration, and I think that we'll have a budget proposed and voted on well before the October 1st deadline.
Everybody happy?
I don't think it was possible to make everybody happy, but we're actually talking to one another, which is a big change from previous couple of budget cycles and reaching agreements. I won't characterize it as happy, but I will characterize it as an earnest attempt to compromise and reach agreements.
Mm-hmm. What are there areas you are concerned with, Mike?
No, not really. I think the budget itself, and I call it, purposely choose to call it an operating budget. And the reason I do that is because we're keeping it separate from the deployment and appropriation of all of the federal money
right.
that has been showered on our state. And so there'll be more robust arm wrestling, we'll put it that way, over how to spend that supplemental money, that federal money. And so keeping it just focused on operations, I think, was a wise, judicious choice. And we get through that, and then we can start talking about deploying, you know, the rest of the money in ways in which we really need it. And the operating principle for the Senate is focusing on capital-constrained types of projects. And I'll give you a couple of examples of that. You know, one is we've got thousands of bridges across the state in severe or poor condition, and so the Senate has proposed a supplemental specific for bridge repair. It's over $1 billion. It'll be spread out over a couple 3 years, and that would basically require repair all, not just some, all bridges in Michigan that are in serious or crisis critical condition. And it would be a major project, very important to do, and provide a measurable return on investment to taxpayer money. similar along those lines is yet another supplemental that the Senate has put on the table, $2.5 billion in this case, and this is to supplement the investments of local communities replacing lead water lines that everybody knows A is important and B it's hard to muster those resources. And so that's a perfect example of how we should use these one-time monies to eliminate a problem that, you know, that we all recognize is there, but it's hard to find the money to do it. So those are just two examples of which will be many examples, Greg.
Hey, Mike, and you're involved in this. This chip shortage is really harming Michigan, isn't it?
And it's a mystery to me why there isn't a siren call for amongst manufacturers, top manufacturers, along with, this is a great example where government may actually have a role, is to find out what are the obstacles prohibiting us or disincentivizing private investment in bringing, onshoring some of those manufacturing facilities that have been offshored now over the last couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a terrific project for our president to put his arms around and see if we can identify what are those constraints and eliminate them. Because we're only going to be more exposed to this kind of technology going in the future, not less. And so having at least a balance of supply that includes both foreign and domestic seems to me to make perfect sense and, frankly, be a key part of national security.
Yeah, and it trickles even down, I guess, as far as the food supply here.
Exactly. Well, you know, rare is it that a farmer today doesn't have incredibly complex technology, even to the point where their tractors run, you know, virtually as robots. They may have an operator sitting in the cab listening to the radio, country music, and sipping on a coffee or something else. But they're operating and, you know, they're running pretty much independent, almost as if they're robots. So technology is in every part of our lives today, and I think we should pay close attention to making sure we're not subject to the whims of other countries for the supply of that kind of critical component.
Did you say country music?
Country music, brother. Yep.
No, it's news talk. Come on. Hey, talk about 911. What were you doing, Mike, 20 years ago when that happened?
Yeah, I was at my office at Orbit Forum, and my recently deceased but favorite insurance guy, who became a very personal friend of mine, came in the office that day, and he blasted through the door and said, "Did you see what just happened in New York?" And I hadn't, of course, because I don't watch TV when I'm at work typically. And so I remember that vividly. And I did have a TV in my office, and so we went down there and turned it on, and we were riveted to that screen just like everybody else across the nation and across the world was for hours after that. And a lot of tears, a lot of heartache, and you know, just it's much like the JFK assassination. It's just one of those things where you will remember the rest of your life where you were when.
Hard to believe, 20 years, isn't it?
It has moved fast, hasn't it? That's part of life. Is the older we get, the faster the clock moves. I think it's a strange and interesting phenomenon, don't you?
Yeah. Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey. Mike, thanks for the visit.
You're welcome, Greg. Have a great day.
Have a good weekend.